This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'll call this meeting of the Senate Local Government Committee to order, and we'll start with roll call.
Senator Gillespie. Here. Klocek. Miles. Schmidt.
Here.
Thiessen.
Here.
Bradford.
Here.
Gant.
Here. We have a quorum present. I want to thank the committee members for coming. We haven't been assigned any bills yet, so I don't know if everyone's just holding off on submitting all their fun local government bills till later, but we'll see how session goes with what our bill load will be. But I wanted to start out the committee by getting introductions from a number of different areas, as well as introductions of some of our new committee members. So with that, since Senator Miles was so prompt, we'll start over there, and the good senator can give a little introduction to the group.
Senator Kathy Miles served 6 years in the House and just recently moved over to the Senate. Looking forward to working with the people from local government, new area for me. I'm on Health and Human Services, have been for 6 years. We'll continue with that, but looking forward to working with local government and the crew. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Margaret Gillespie, Senator, District 16, Lincoln and Union Counties, termed out of the House. Served in local government my first 4 years over in the House, so looking forward to being back.
Senator Jim Bradford, and I spent 8 years in the House, termed out, and I'm really, really astounded to be a vice chairman of a committee. New to the Senate and new to the Republican Party. So it's a great experience I'm going through. Thank you.
I'm Dennis Schmidt from Rapid City, District 33. Been here in Pierre for 3 years. This will be my third year, and it's very educational, and it's an important thing that we come here and do this every year. My goal is to do what's right for the people of South Dakota, and that my voting record, I think, shows that I'm a conservative voter, but I try to do what's right. And I think it's time for America to start making choices that are right, and I'll do my best. So, but anyway, I enjoy being here. I'm on local government, transportation, and judiciary, and I'll endeavor to continue doing my best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Craig Thiessen from Rapid City. I spent 32 years in the Rapid City Police Department, was termed out, retired about a year and a half ago, and started my new adventure in politics, and I'm serving on judiciary as well as local government. Looking forward to getting involved in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, committee members. And I'm Jason Gant, Senator from Sioux Falls. This is my fifth year, my third term. I was on appropriations my first 2 years, and I was happily paroled from that. And then I moved to local government, Health and Human Services, and Commerce, and still serve on those committees now. Well, what I'd like to do is start out. We have a number of individuals here to give us a little rundown on what their office does and who they are, and maybe some of the challenges that are coming. So with that, I'll start with Secretary of State Chris Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. My office comes before this committee on elections-related legislation. I'd like to introduce to you three staff people who deal with elections in my office. Deputy Secretary of State Teresa Bray is with us. Election Supervisor Kia Warren, who most of you have probably visited with over the course of the last year. Hopefully those have been happy visits. And Jennifer Headley is our Help America Vote Act coordinator, fairly new to the office, started 1st of July, and has done a phenomenal job in getting up to speed. She handles a lot of our federal election issues, Lakota translation issues, and those types of things in preparation for the elections. Just want to spend a moment talking about the 2008 election year. Our number one focus during the last year was implementing a new computer system to gather election night results. The system that we had in place had originally been designed in 1990, had exceeded its lifespan, and so last year we designed from the ground up a brand new system that created a unified database for all candidates. And so as candidates filed with the Secretary of State's office, their information was put into a database. As candidates filed with county auditors across the state, their information was put into the same database. And when it came time then to create the ballots for both the primary or general election, we are now able to electronically transmit that data from this database to the company that creates the ballots and does programming for the machines. And we had by far the smoothest ballot preparation this last year that we've ever had, largely due to that system, and I'm very pleased with that. The second thing that system does, obviously, is collect the results on election night. A couple of changes from what the old system did. The new system also collects results for county races and any city or school races that are combined with the primary or general election. And we also report results down to the precinct level. And so if you want to know how you did in a particular precinct, you can now get that information online. Another aspect of the system is something called the Voter Information Portal, which allows any voter in the state to go on to our website, put in their name and date of birth, and this site will come back and say, here is where you are registered, here is your precinct, here is your polling place, here's how to get to your polling place, and here's a copy of your sample ballot. And we think that's just a tremendous tool for the public so that they're ready to go when they go into that polling place and know where to go and what they're going to vote on. Interestingly, we had about 49,000 people hit that site prior to the general election. Great interest in it. 30,000 of those were on election day or the day before. Folks all of a sudden saying, oh, my goodness, where do I go vote? Am I registered? And what's my ballot going to look like? And so we were very, very pleased to offer that new service. And I want to say lastly on that issue, I give great credit to our county auditors across this state who worked with us to develop that system and, most importantly, test it. One of the questions we got was, how can you roll out a big new system like that and it work? Right. And our answer is because our county auditors were very diligent in working with us on testing and training and retesting, and it turned out well. The 2008 election itself went very smoothly for us. I will say if I could take that smooth an election every year guaranteed, I'd take it on the spot, no questions asked. We had 23,000 more people registered for this election than we have ever had registered before in this state. That's the highest percentage at 87.4%, highest percentage of the voting age population registered since 1992. So we saw a pretty good upswing in interest in getting registered and participating. A couple of the players in the elections community I think you need to be aware of. Number one are our county auditors. We have 64 of those individuals across the state who are absolutely dedicated to making sure elections work right in South Dakota. We have a very good team relationship with them. I get to give them guidance and direction, and they do most of the work. And we've gotten along very well with that relationship in the past, and I'm very pleased to work with them. We also have a State Board of Elections in South Dakota. That is a 7-person board. I'm the chairman of that board. We have 2 county auditors that are appointed by the Speaker of the House, Karen Layer of Grant County and Paula Jones of Yankton County. We have 4 lay people that are on that board appointed by the Republican and Democrat leadership of the House and Senate. They are Linda Lee Viken of Rapid City, Chris Madsen, Sioux Falls, Dick Casey of Sioux Falls, and Gail Brock of Hitchcock has been serving on the board for 8 years. Her term is expiring this month, and she's going to be replaced by Matt McCauley from Sioux Falls. So those individuals serving on the board's responsibility is to recommend election law changes to me that I in turn bring to you. They promulgate administrative rules in the area of elections, and they certify any new voting systems that would be used in the state. So far as major policy initiatives in the elections area this year, we are not going to be bringing any of those. The system really is kind of where it needs to be. We've got one bill, a cleanup type bill that we started on the House side, and with all Good fortune over there will be coming over here, and you'll get to view that. But no major changes this year. The last comment I'll make, changes in the election process, though, are being talked about in Washington with increasing frequency. There were a number of conversations in 2007. There were some attempts to add some new mandates to state election procedures in 2007. Most of those I was in opposition to. I actually testified in front of Congress twice because there were some things that would have been very detrimental to our state. There's now talk again about adding new mandates to the system, and we'll watch those and evaluate them individually and see what might be good or bad for our state, and we'll respond appropriately. But that's really where the focus is going to be this year, is on Congress and what they might come up with. With that, I think that's an overview of where we're at and what we do. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Bob Wilcox is with the Association of County Commissioners.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd as well would like to introduce the people that are with me to here today. And in the back of the room, I have the other half of our office, our administrative assistant, Chris Jacobson, and our contract lobbyist, Lauren Pankratz. A little bit about our membership. Chris and I represent the County Commission Association, which consists of about 322 county commissioners across the state. Certainly that is our membership, solely our membership, and it's our responsibility to oversee their concerns. A couple of things about what we're going to be tracking this year, obviously, is the highway funding bills that came out of the summer study. It's a great concern for state and local government. We also, as well, will be working with some legislation with initiative reform on the initiative measures. And with that, I will step away from the mic, but I would like to thank you for the opportunity to come and visit with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Bradford?
Bob, is there going to be any bills at all from the counties?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yes, there will be. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Eric Erickson with the Association of County Officials.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota County Officials. We represent the county auditors, treasurers, and register of deeds. Beyond legislative work, we work with state agencies, Department of Motor Vehicles, Chris Nelson with elections, and other areas. We also do continuing education workshops throughout the year, and then work with counties on other services, including county websites and options like that. Currently, we don't have any bills, so you won't see too much of me. But if you have any questions or if there's something that I can help you with, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions of Eric? Thanks, Eric. Next, Gail Brock, who is with the Towns and Townships.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gail Brock. I'm the Executive Director for the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. Our organization represents 610 local governments in South Dakota. 70 of those are small towns. The rest are townships. Currently, there are 919 townships in South Dakota. When I first started out, there were 935 about 15 years ago. But a township board is comprised of 5 members and logistics in some of our counties. Because of population changes, there are not 5 people living in a township. So they have dissolved their township government in those areas. The township is governed by a 5-person board, 3 supervisors, the clerk, and the treasurer. And we are unique in local government. We consider ourselves the government closest to the people. The first Tuesday in March, every township in South Dakota will be meeting by law. At that meeting, the citizens who live in the township are registered to vote in the township, can go to that annual meeting and they can participate in setting the budget and any other things that go on there by making motions and voting at that meeting, as long as they live there and they're registered to vote there. Then, throughout the year, the three supervisors are the voting members of the board. The clerk and the treasurer are non-voting members of the board. Each year, one supervisor is elected, and the clerk and treasurer are reelected each year. Townships in South Dakota are primarily responsible for roads and fire protection. That's about the limit of our power in South Dakota. There are other states where townships have more authority than that. Some of my counterparts in the East, their responsibilities and duties would compare to some of the things like Sioux Falls City Council deals with because they are so big. North Dakota is similar to us, although the townships up there do have zoning authority in North Dakota. This year, we have followed the interim study on highway needs, participated in that, and we'll be following those highway funding bills. We do not have a bill filed yet as far as us carrying legislation, but we also are going to be involved in another study with the DOT. Met with them last week on roads and what they are. Some of the things they're doing is trying to define secondary roads and some of those things. So that's a little bit about us in a nutshell.
Thank you. Senator Bradford.
I heard you mention small towns. Is that what do you classify as a small town?
For our membership, 5,000 and under population.
And is there a difference between a small town and a municipality?
Only by population, I think, and there may be some differences in the way they govern as to the size of their city council and so forth. I'd say many things are similar.
The reason I'm asking that is that we have some issues of small town communities are more like it on a reservation too, and even off of that. I'm talking about like Allen, South Dakota, maybe, and Manderson, or these towns that don't understand their operation really in our whole government situation. And I wondered is there anywhere I can find that out, what their authority is, what they can do and what they
can't. I think most of that is found in Chapter 9, you know, of the South Dakota Codified Law as to the authority that they have out there. I'll be honest with you, when the association first started, it was the Association of Townships. And then later on, there were some of the small towns that wanted to be a part of that. And it was before I came on board that they expanded the membership for those small towns that are 5,000 and under. Sometimes we struggle to find things to meet the needs of those small towns, but we do make an effort to participate in economic development, to pass on information and that type of thing. And at our annual meeting, we always have sessions that are geared towards them to help them with some of the things like you're talking about, but a lot of times they don't attend. You know, there's a lot of information out there, but you have to either go for it or ask someone to come in and help you to do that.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League, or is anyone else here from the Municipal League? All right. We'll just – that's okay. We're going to be done, Bob. we'll save you on for another time. With that, were there any other questions anyone had of anyone else? Then I'd like to save the best for last, and that is how our committee will function so properly, and that's with staff and pages. So if staff would like to say hello and give a little story.
Okay. I'm Tom Megadence with Legislative Research Council, and I'm staff for this committee. I also staff the two Ag and Natural Resources committees. I started with LRC in 1988, so that's my story.
Thank you.
I'm Josh Klum. I am the secretary for this committee and also for House Health and Human Services and House Retirement Laws. I am a former page and a former intern, and this is my third year in the peer, so thanks.
Wonderful. Now we'll put the pages on the hot seat. We'll make you sit down in the big chair. I've got the button that saps it. So.
Okay. Hello, I'm Shelby Freeman. I am a senior at Britton Heckle High School. And anything else you want to know? Or?
Thanks.
Okay. I'm Caitlin Foreman, and I'm a senior at Pierre High School.
Thank you and welcome. If there is nothing else to come before the committee, Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned.